It could have been done. Okay, and do not blame the man that we're going to get the opportunity to visit with right now, and that is United States Representative Collin Peterson from the 7th District in Minnesota, the ranking Democratic member of the House Ag Committee. Representative Peterson, good to have you on News and Views.
Morning, Joel. How you doing?
Sounds like you got a farm bill done.
Well, we're going to have it on the floor tomorrow. We got a rule, and hopefully we can pass it, but there's last-minute drama, like there always is. This time, it's the all the livestock groups are opposing it, trying to kill it.
Because of the country of origin labeling.
That and gypsum.
Explain that.
Well, it's the Grain Inspection Stockyard Packers Act. This was something I put in the bill in 2008, which gave some protections to individual growers and the big chicken companies didn't like it, and so they've been trying to change it, to repeal it ever since. And that's actually, I think, a bigger political problem than the COOL is, because they're very very influential in the South, in Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, down in big chicken area down in there, Arkansas, and so forth. So I don't know, but the Republicans I've talked to this morning think that we're going to be okay. I was at my caucus this morning and took a fair amount of grief from some of the liberals because they wanted no cuts in food stamps. And basically, that's what we accomplished, but they're still not happy, you know. So you got, you know, that kind of stuff that goes on at the end. Yesterday, we had a dust-up over dairy that I thought we had settled two or three times over the weekend, but it finally, 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, we finally got Leahy calmed down. He had been in Davos, Switzerland, for the last week, and when he came back, he blew everything up. And it, Saturday afternoon, it took me till Monday afternoon to get things back together again. So just a normal day in the life of the Farm Bill.
both of us like Clint Eastwood movies, so give it to me. The good, the bad, the ugly. Give it to me. What's good, what's bad, and what's ugly in this bill?
Well, you know, it's not the best bill that we could have had, but it's probably the best we can do under the circumstances. You know, we're getting rid of direct payments, which needed to go, and so we're going to replace it with the choice of either a average revenue system or a price loss contract, which is target prices, countercyclical payments at a much higher level than what was in the old bill, like $3.70 for corn, $8.40 for soybeans, $5.50 for wheat, so forth. So, you know, it's a safety net that will only pay out if there's actually a problem, which is more defensible. We also, you know, were able to preserve the crop insurance system without really any changes. The only thing is we are going to tie it to conservation. So if you're going to be in the crop insurance system, you're going to have to comply with the wetland and sod buster and those kind of laws.
Weren't most of them doing that anyway?
I think so. You know, but there were people. Actually, there was a lot of opposition in North Dakota to this. There was opposition in South Dakota. But moving on to the conservation title, I think we have the, you know, we had a very good conservation title in 08. We built on that. I can tell you Ducks Unlimited, Pheasant Forever, these other conservation groups are thrilled with what we ended up with here. So that's a big plus. We were able to get the sodbuster language into the bill that I couldn't get in 08 that says in 6 states, including North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska, and Montana, that you, if you break up, you can't break up native prairie, basically. If you do, you won't be able to buy crop insurance. So that was a provision that, you know, something that people have been wanting for a while. The dairy stuff ended up not what we wanted. We're not sure that it's going to be as effective as what we had originally put together, but we did, I think, win because we ended up with the margin insurance structure that I put together. We did lower the premiums for small producers, which I think is fine. And we do have a kind of a, it's, yeah, I don't want to say it's supply management, but we have a component in there that if we get in an overproduction situation, that you are not going to get paid insurance above your base, and that base is going to be established using your 2011, 12, and 13 production. So you'll be able to buy insurance to protect your production, and you can protect it up to however much you're producing, except if we get into an overproduction situation, in that case, you're only going to be able to protect your base until we get back out of that. So it's a way to send a market signal to the farmers. I don't think it's as clear or as definite as the stabilization fund, but we think it has the potential to work. And, you know, we'll, the dairy guys have come in behind the bill now.
Your dairy producers, and you still have a number in your district of small dairy producers. Does this, the provisions that you put in, extend throughout the extent of this farm bill, or does it just go a couple of years into
it? No, it's a whole, the farm bill and into the future.
Well, that's a win for you then,
because you didn't have that a couple weeks ago.
There's
no sunset. These lower premiums for basically anybody that has 230 cows or less, the premium is going to be very inexpensive. And they'll be able to buy up coverage to $7.50 above the feed cost, which is going to put them close to the cost of production. So for small producers, it's a big win, and it's locked in. And then in addition to that, something else that I pushed for with Boehner when I had to give up the stabilization fund was putting in a purchase program for the secretary. So for the first time, the secretary, when we get in an overproduction, oversupply, he can go into the commercial market and buy product off the market with this new plan that we put together, which actually has baseline, which means that it'll be funded out into the future beyond the farm bill. So, you know, you can look at this. Maybe we're better off than we were with the original situation, but it remains to be seen how it actually works.
Let me ask this. There's always enemies, and the enemies don't always show themselves to be enemies of farmers. They do it in different ways, and I believe that's what happened to you and Chairman Lucas last summer.
Right.
I believe that those individuals, their goal was to kill the bill.
Yeah.
And they said, well, it's got to stand on its own. If farmers can't stand on their own, then we got a problem anyway. Are they still there? Are they going to make a run at you on the floor?
Well, I don't know if they're going to take a run at us. You know, they were able to be successful because they were able to convince the Republican leadership to split the bill. And I think a lot of members on the Republican side didn't even understand what was going on. You know, but this has been the Heritage Foundation, Club for Growth, those kind of people. That's been their play for many, many years. Their idea is that if you can split food stamps and the farm bill into two different bills, you can get rid of both. And that's what they want. They want to get rid of food stamps and they want to get rid of farm programs. And they know, they figured out that they can't do it unless they can isolate them. So they're still out there, but I don't think they're going to have as much of an impact here tomorrow as they had in June. I am more concerned about the livestock opposition. And this is a problem that we've had through the, one of the reasons it took so long is that agriculture for the first time has not been together. Agriculture has been fighting each other for the last couple, 3 years. And this is a dangerous situation. It's a problematic situation, and we had to work through it. But I can tell you this, if they don't figure out a way to get back together, and if they don't figure out a way to solidify this coalition between the urban people on nutrition and food stamps and us on farm policy, there will not be farm policy. You know, we cannot pass a farm bill without the help of the urban people. And we're not going to get their help unless we address their folks' concerns. And so the people that are concerned about the sugar program, for example, if this thing is able to be split up and if farmers continue to fight with each other, you know, it'll put the sugar program in jeopardy.
the messages are already coming in on the sodbuster program, people concerned that they had planted into native grasses and now whether they're going to be allowed when they had the land broke up in the beginning and they planted back in the native grasses, whether they'll be allowed to break that land up again.
Well, there's going to be definitions that are going to have to be developed through the rulemaking process, as I understand it. And, you know, I don't know the answer to that question. I think that's going to be determined in the rulemaking process.
Let me ask you another question. Preventive plant. Many people point to preventive planting as one of the abuses of the past and previous farm bills, as though individuals, you know, kind of abuse that segment and don't get out there and farm. I don't see a lot of it, Colin. You know that. We've had these talks. But where is this bill, Congressman Peterson, when it comes to preventive planting?
Well, we didn't do anything directly as regards that. Preventive planting is still available. And frankly, Senator Hovind was trying to open it up even more than what it is. So he was not trying to limit it. He was trying to make it more liberal, which I question. But anyway, what we have done is we have allocated more emphasis on enforcement and data mining. And we have put money into data mining, you know, for different things. And we've been using data mining in crop insurance, and we've been able to identify a significant amount of abuse with it. So we have put additional resources into data mining to go be able to go in and see if there's actually abuses going on in preventive planting. Because I get complaints from people saying, well, you know, all four sides of this piece of property were planted, and this one piece got preventive planting. So, I mean, I hear that, you know, I don't know how much of it goes on, but the way we're going to address it is by doing more data mining, which will point out where this is happening, and then people will actually go out and take a look at it.
Okay. Congressman, I don't know what your timeline is here.
I'm good.
Hang with me then, would you please? You to get access to him. Let's get to and ask your question quick. Let's get some people through. Jeff, you're on with Colin. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, good morning. I just want to know if there was anything done with the livestock indemnity program to help the livestock farmers.
Okay, thanks,
Jeff.
Oh,
yeah, I should have mentioned that. They've got the biggest win of anybody in this bill, which frankly irritates me that the cattlemen are opposing it. Because we have a new indemnity program of $3.7 billion. Huge amount of money put into that. The people that had the problem, you know, in South Dakota, I guess to some extent North Dakota, are going to be compensated. And there's going to be insurance available into the future for cattle and other livestock. So that was a big priority of the chairman, Lucas. He's come from a cattle district in Oklahoma, and that is in the final bill.
All right, let's get to Dennis. You're on with Congressman Peterson.
Hey, good morning. This sod buster bill, you say if it can't break up native sod, or if we do, we can't have insurance. How long does that go on? Is there a time period for when I
well, the,
could
the,
have it?
The people that were pushing this were claiming that people were breaking up native prairie, and that they were using crop insurance to pay for it by using their yield in that county and applying it to this newly broken up land and then not producing a crop and collecting crop insurance. And so this is where it came from. And I don't believe it doesn't last forever. It's something like, I can't even remember, but it's something like 3 or 5 years after that it goes away.
Okay.
But there, you know, there's going to be significant rulemaking in this area. This is the kind of thing that you can't nail down with legislative language. So the concern was, and it's primarily coming out of South Dakota, that the people were breaking up native prairie out there. It really probably wasn't very good farmland anyway, and using crop insurance to subsidize it.
Well, isn't it about corn? I mean, when corn prices got so high, all of a sudden you and I started seeing that, right?
Well, we see CRP being broke up, you know, all over the place in my district and around. You know, we're now below $4 on corn, probably going lower. Everybody's going to switch to soybeans. They're not going to be worth anything next year. I predict in 2 years, people are going to be 3 years. Are going to be clamoring to get back in the CRP program.
Congressman, I got to ask you this. You work so hard on all of these farm bills. You look at this, and I'm hearing commercials running, taking after you. You got a 70% approval rating plus in your district. You'd get elected in a walk. Joel Heitkamp's prediction, not yours. All these ads that they're running against you, have they ticked you off enough so it makes your choice to run again easy?
Well, to Joel, I mean, as I've told you, I have been up to my ears in getting this bill done. And so my thinking is this, you know, hopefully we'll get this bill passed tomorrow. It'll get signed by the president. Once that happens, I'm going to sit back for a couple, 3 weeks and just think about things and think about the campaign and what kind of money I've got to raise and, you know, all of those issues.
But don't you think that's the intent of these ads, is to try to get you to say, you know what, I just ain't going to do it if this is what it's going to be about? I mean,
well,
isn't
I'm
it a
sure
ploy
that's
for
probably
them?
What they're up to, but, you know, that's not how I'm going to decide this.
I'm glad to hear that.
Based on whether I can, being back in the Congress is going to make a difference for my constituents and I can, you know, do the kinds of things that you need to do to represent them in Congress. That's
okay.
How I'm looking at it.
Clock's got me, but Congressman, thanks for your work on this bill. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Colin Peterson. When we come back, Congressman Kevin Cramer.